The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table today, it seems that I've got a new face at the table. Mr. Gordon Pepper, could you please educate our fans about you and why in the world you're here?
Well, I do a lot of stuff on Spectrum One. I am the moderator for the panel, which is us talking with various members of the Underground Bowling Association. I am one half of WLTA. We'll Live to Interrupt. Once in a while, Jason Block shows up. I've also done guest work on Touch 'Em All, the BS Big Show, and it's episode 69, so of course I have to be here.
So, yes, and he mentioned Jason, so he's the one who's at fault for bringing Gordon to the show. Hi, Jason.
Yes, it's all my fault, but we've got some, believe me, we got some very interesting stuff to talk about this week.
We do, and it's so important that it has gone global, so all the way on the other side of the planet, I have bad news beaming.
Yes, and for one particular announcer, there's some bad news probably heading their way soon.
Could very well be, because this is finally boiled over. Now, I think everybody here, you know, everybody here is a big fan of Mauro Ranallo, even before he came to WWE. My first real exposure to him was WWE. And unfortunately, there are some traditions that just don't die in this business, but I think that there's enough attention, enough social media finger pointing, and enough people who have stepped forward that this could potentially cost Bradshaw his job.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Mauro Ranallo is a very big mental health advocate because he has suffered from depression for many, many years, and he is a very big advocate. And over the last, I would say, month or so, he has disappeared from WWE television, and the rumors have been that JBL was ribbing him on and off air to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. And JBL has basically said, no, I didn't do it, but this actually tied in, Gordon, with the release of a book from former WWE announcer Justin Roberts, which was called The Best Seat in the House. And I actually have a quote from an ESPN article where he was asked about, he was also asked about this. And he said, the speculation is, and he was asked, with the disappearance of Mauro Ranallo from the SmackDown commentary team on TV and the rumors and innuendo surrounding from what's going on, how do you relate that after some of the experiences of the book? And he said the speculation was that JBL and whoever else probably riding him and bringing up certain things and taking jabs at him. That's what happens there if you're recognized for doing something or something good has happened to you. There are guys that will give you hell on it, and he goes on. Gordon, you've been a television producer as well, off air. How do you deal with a culture of something like that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we talk about, and I really don't mention this that often, as you know, Jay, I have had a couple of my shows been picked up by major networks, one of which is Comedy Central, and you actually helped me with the pilot of one of those shows.
Correct.
In addition to that, I was highlight coordinator for CBS Sports for 4 years. All the stuff that you hear about it being the old boy network is absolutely true. You have to have thick skin when you're in the entertainment business. You have to really let some of the stuff fly off your back. I mean, at CBS, when I was working there, when you're doing promos and when you're in front of the camera, behind the camera, millions of people are watching you. And so you better be accurate and you better be ready to take. I hate to be the devil's advocate here, and I have a feeling I may be the only person that is going to think of it this way. But yeah, on one aspect, I agree with the Mario Ronaldo a little bit, but I'm going to side more with Justin Bradshaw and the WWE and JBL on this. And the reason being is that, and I'm going to be very Republican here for a moment, in this business, you cannot be a snowflake. You cannot be someone with such thin skin that you're not part of the group. And I don't see anything there that is warranted people wanting JBL's job. I'm sorry. And again, I'm talking as someone in the know and someone as an insider, not necessarily on the outside.
This, you know, and this is something that's common up and down in the wrestling business, but there's got to be a line. There really has to be a line somewhere. And if you are in a toxic enough work environment to the point that you have to take medication or you're scared to death to even walk into the building, yeah, maybe you're in the wrong business. But this was Mauro's dream job.
Well, you know, be careful what you wish for. Everybody's saying bad things have happened. I have, again, and this is my point, and I'm talking from someone I've had some very interesting CBS stories that I'm not going to mention on the air, but I've had to deal with, as someone that's a coordinator, I've had to deal with people in these positions, and on more than one occasion, someone that's been bullied and being the person that's had to step in and say, hey, wait a second, you know, you're going too far, cut it out. There is, in CBS, there's a fine line, and one of my gigs was to make sure that people didn't go over it. There's nothing, but again, there's a differentiation between that and ribbing and having fun. There is nothing that I have seen, again, based on that, and you'll have to show me if I'm wrong, but there's nothing that I've really seen that's been a line crosser.
Shane, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I think what the problem is, Gordon, is the fact that we have a publicized company that is openly doing anti-bullying stuff, like the Be a Star campaign, and we've heard, and no, I'm being serious.
I know you are,
I didn't know if you were sneezed or sticking.
Well, actually, but I was trying to do the bullshit sneeze, and it just didn't come out right. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way: Nikki has said it, and she's nailed it on the head. So Shane, or B-Man, I should say bad news, Shane, give me some bad news. You give me one specific instance of something that you know of that you've either heard or other way that really says, okay, they've gone too far.
Perfect scenario.
Give me
some. You say that everyone has that everyone should have a thick skin. There was a guy that some would say was the most extreme announcer that WWE has ever had, and he had to give Bradshaw a black eye due to the fact that Bradshaw stepped over the line too damn much. So,
but that's how you take care of it. And
yes, but but that shouldn't be the case. Like if someone's bullying you to the point where you have to resort physically to that problem. This is the point where WWE management has to come in and say, look, we've had enough. We've heard of hazing. That's fine. But if it comes to a point where pretty much this is a Vince McMahon, Bret Hart situation where you're getting punched in the back, then yeah.
Okay.
And now, and again, Nikki, you and I have worked and we understand being ribbed. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets ribbed, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. I have been ribbed. I have given ribs. I have been, you know.
Were they tasty with barbecue sauce?
Oh, yes, they were, especially when you have a title holder running around frantically in the back of the arena trying to find his belt.
I'm not saying that, but, like, it's brought but Gordon, wrong here.
Yeah, no, if Gordon wants an example, I'll give him a perfect example. Justin Roberts, okay, there's playing practical jokes, there's good humor, then they're stealing your passport and getting stuck in the UK. That's not funny. That's not legal. JBL found a way to get Justin Roberts' passport. He had to fly all the way back to the U.S. Embassy to get a new passport, and they had to take the train to the airport and get another flight, and was almost late for his horse thing. And when he a couple weeks later, he's in a production meeting that JBL was also attending. Vince was in charge. They went through the meeting. Everything was over. Vince left. Justin was still sitting there. Bradshaw gets up and walks past him and goes, "Hey, don't forget your passport," and keeps walking. This man broke an international law for a laugh. Justify that for me.
Well, I thought I was actually, the way that you said it, I thought it was pretty funny. But that's not the point. The point is, and okay, I think was probably going over the line, probably. But again, what happened in the situation? Because clearly Justin Roberts did not have the tostones to do anything about it. Whether it was to report that specific situation or to do anything else. If the way that he's getting back to him is doing it in a book, then no, that's the wrong answer to it.
Tell me what exactly he was supposed to do while he was in London. Without a passport.
No, but it's not just about the whole London situation, Gordon. It's about the fact that, like you said, oh, well, Justin didn't do anything about it. Bradshaw is what, 6'6", 6'7"? Justin Roberts was about what?
5'8", 5'9". He wasn't much taller than me.
Exactly.
And Vince, this is Justin Roberts. JBL stole my passport, and now I'm stuck in the UK because of it. Is there anything that you can do to help me out here?
You know, Vince would have laughed at him. Nothing would have come of it.
And here's
the point. Is that what would have happened, or is that what you're assuming?
No, that's what would have happened. Vince,
I'm guessing that's what would have happened. I'm not assuming anything because Vince has a very strange sense of humor.
Yes, but here's
the here. Said, wait a second, Nikki, as you said, if he broke an international law, which I believe we both said that he did, then he takes it completely out of Vince McMahon's hands, calls the police and says, "Hey, you know what? I got an issue over here. I got stranded because someone stole my passport."
And then what happens is that JBL gets a slap on the wrist and Justin gets ribbed even harder. That's the culture.
Sometimes it isn't.
If you're in a situation where one of your wrestlers gets thrown in jail, it's not that funny anymore.
No, and I'm just saying, JBL unfortunately has precedent for this because he got them all in trouble in Germany a while back by goose-stepping in the ring.
Which was illegal, and I believe he nearly did get arrested for that, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Yeah. Now, but and here's the thing. I posted an article in the chat window showing that Bradshaw has been a quote-unquote bully and hazer for years. He's the last of a breed. And remember, Gordon and others here, we're dealing with a 21st century corporate culture right now. And the thing is that, yes, I understand where you're coming from, Gordon, about the whole idea of having a thick skin. Yes. And Bradshaw grew up in a different era of the 90s, you know, 80s, 90s of old school Texas wrestling and all that sort of stuff.
Jay, if I'm going to completely disagree with you here, if this is how Vince McMahon runs his show, then you're not dealing with a 21st century company at all.
That's true. You know what? You're absolutely correct. You know what? Now that I thought about it, you're absolutely right. Because if that's correct, then Bradshaw should have been gone years ago.
Bradshaw would have been gone years ago, and he's not. And again, if we want to call a spade here, all right, let's look at the WWE. Let's look at exactly what it is. And I'm going to make some people a little bit uncomfortable right now, but hey, this is why I'm on the show. Linda McMahon, Sterling Republican, I believe she is now part of Donald Trump's campaign.
Correct.
Vince McMahon is easily one of the old boys in terms of wrestling. Uh-huh. This is your traditional good old boys, older white Republican organization. And I don't mean that to try to shut anything down because I'm not. But what I do mean is that this is not a progressive company by any stretch of the imagination. So you have to do your homework before you come into a company that's any work gig. When I joined CBS, and for me it was a dream job, and I loved every minute of me being in there, but CBS, especially in CBS Sports, with all the characters that are there, it is definitely an old boy organization, for better or for worse. Was there teasing and hazing? Absolutely. And a lot of it was, I think some of it was borderline, well, you can get into trouble, but it was all fun as long as you kept it that way. Let me finish one second, then I'll give you back the floor.
Sure.
Mario Ranallo, as good as he is, and he's great, don't get me wrong, but if he has a mental illness, which he does, and again, I'm going to come off harsh here, but not everybody is suited for every job. You have to know, if you're going into the WWE, you're not going to be on a pedestal. You're going to be made fun of. You're a personality. You're going to be made fun of in front of and behind the camera. Everybody, and I mean everybody in the WWE, gets hazed and gets their butt handed to them. You cannot be a holier-than-thou, and it's just like CBS for argument's sake. You cannot be in a holier-than-thou situation, and you cannot expect to be in that sort of situation and not have to deal with this stuff. And the problem is, yeah, is it his dream job? Absolutely. Do I feel bad for him? Certainly. Does he fit in that role? No. Sorry.
Well, let me...
I just think, as somebody who's been through this situation, with another job...
Mm-hmm.
I spent 4.5 years trying to please somebody who could not be pleased. I had gone to HR. They'd bring that manager in and we'd have a nice little talk. Things would be okay for about a day. Then we're back to the same shit. I go back to HR. They bring her back and her boss. Mm-hmm. We have a nice little chat. Things change for maybe a week and then it's back to the same old shit. There's only so much that an individual can do within a company. And if you want to say that it's okay for Bradshaw to haze the hell out of Mauro Ranallo, and if Mauro Ranallo was pushed to the point that he ended up taking his own life over it, you would laugh, wouldn't you? Because that's about where this is where it could go.
I think you're going extremist here. That's not what I'm saying at all.
I'm just saying that you're giving a guy a poor choice, and put in a situation that he's just trying to do his job, and I'm sure he's okay with the occasional rib and the occasional joke. But if it's every single day and every single night of every single week of every single month of every single fucking year, that's bullshit. You got to stop sometime. At some point, it's got to stop.
There's a great movie called Porky's.
I've seen it, and trust me, I don't understand the humor of it at all.
I'm not going to tell you about the humor of the movie, but there's a great scene in the movie where you had a fight scene with a Jew that was there, and they were talking about it in the middle of the movie. He asked the Jewish guy, where did you take these where did you take these martial art classes? And the guy turns around and he goes, you know, growing up as a Jew, you either take a lot of crap or you fight and knock it out of their mouths. And he said, I didn't want to take any crap. And I'll say this even from a CBS standpoint. You know, everybody gets ripped and I get ripped also. But then, you know, you turn around and you'd be like, okay, fine. This is going to stop and it's going to stop now and it's going to stop here. And this is where it is. And sometimes as the employee, you have to step up and make the difference and be like, okay, fine. This is how it's stopping. This is what we're doing. And it's this, 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 and this. There are ways to deal with it. And again, it's, do I know everything that Mara went through? No. Do I know the situations? No. Have you guys been able to give me a situation where I've turned around and said, wait a second, that's too far? No. And that's what I'm saying. Before we jump on things, until you know the whole story, you don't know the whole story.
That's true. That's why Jason's telling you to read the thing that he's put in the chat here with JB Holmes.
But that's a cultural history. You haven't given me anything specific with Mario Ranallo.
That is true.
You've given me something with Justin Roberts. You haven't given me anything with Ranallo. That's
because Ranallo is actually trying to be the better man and hasn't said a word about it on Twitter, but he's not coming back to work. Because it's a toxic environment, and he's not going to sit there and, you know, he can't tweet Bradshaw because he's just going to block him. So, you know, he's been put in a situation, and if he has to sit out the rest of his contract to get it resolved, I guess that's what he's going to have to do, because apparently, you know, you accept the fact that, you know, Mauro has tried to put his foot down. Maybe Mauro has tried to talk to somebody. And now that nobody's, you know, now that he's seen how it doesn't work, he's just going to sit out the rest of his contract.
And there's also doctor's orders. So, but here's the interesting question. Let me just sort of move away from this just a little bit. Are we eventually going to see JBL being removed, or does he have too much tenure, or is the smoke going to get any fire right now?
Well, and that's the other thing that I question here, Jay, which is, if all these things are horrible and bad, and you know the WWE in certain situations will drop people immediately in terms of certain things. There have been racial stuff that's been done with the WWE and people have been fired immediately. There's
Hogan, for example. Hogan,
have been
for
fired
example.
Immediately. I'm sorry.
Hogan, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a great example for that. If there's something that goes and it affects the WWE's bottom line, that person's gone. So for the fact of the matter is, if JBL is still there, and if nobody knows what's going on, and if nobody knows why anything's going on, and if Vince McMahon or other people aren't part of the communique in terms of what's going on, then to answer your question, Nikki, with all due respect, no, he has not done what he's needed. If this is his quote-unquote dream job, and again, I understand what he goes through, and I have friends that deal with mental illness every single day, and I can only imagine what they go through. But I also know that they will stick up for themselves on that, and maybe that's part of the issue here is that, for lack of a better term, Ranallo may be even a little bit too nice on this and not really defending himself. If this is the way of defending himself, which is, well, I'm going to sit out because it's what the doctors tell me, then that's not really defending yourself. And again, I'm playing the devil's advocate card completely to the hill, and I may be a gigantic a-hole by the time this whole thing is over, but I am not one of those people that's just going to be swept in by public sentiment. I'm one of those very logical, and Jay knows this about me. I'm one of these very logical people that sits down and goes, okay, what's the situation here? And the situation is that you have nothing yet.
Be that as it may, JBL has a history, and leopards don't change their spots. Especially
yeah, but you gotta, I understand that, but you got to explain to me this situation. And again, if it was that bad, if that was that illegal, he would have been gone.
Well, I can see it from both sides of the fence. Like, I can see what JBL's saying. Like, where basically he's trying to be like, in a better word, ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to be the Donald Trump of the WWE. he tells you who gets into the country and who doesn't. But
he did that literally on a show anyway.
The thing is, the reason why JBL hasn't been fired is plain and simple. It's sad but true. Like Gordon said, unfortunately, no one has recorded the man doing shit. All you have got is a lot of wrestlers, but still, it's all hearsay because they're just saying stuff on radio. So. I could say right now on radio that JBL smacked Funaki around and everyone would lose their marbles. They'd be like, when did this happen? Oh, you know, back in 2008, back when Funaki was SmackDown number one announcer. But it wouldn't be the truth. So everyone listening to podcasts would be like, but is that true? Did that really happen? We don't know. If it's a situation like Hulk Hogan, where he's been caught out on film actually doing and saying stuff.
And it's funny that they punish him 10 years late when that was recorded over 10 years ago. But, yes, but you know, who am I to say?
Exactly. And he didn't know he was being recorded. But that's neither here nor there. The fact is, that's the reason why WWE cut the string, because he got caught red-handed. There's no defense attorney in the world that could have been like, oh, you know, he was just acting for the camera. Don't worry about it.
And see, this is where it really pushes my button. This is why it really pushes my buttons. Because JBL could easily walk away and say, hey, it was all in good fun. I was just kidding. I can't help it if they can't take a joke. I had that shit driven down my throat in high school. And it's still bullshit today. You tell somebody who's picking on you to stop and they don't stop. And you go hire an authority and they tell them to stop and they don't stop. What are you supposed to do? I am not going to get myself thrown in jail trying to defend myself when I have somebody that won't leave me the fuck alone.
I videotaped it and got the guy suspended.
I had no means to record the incidents that happened. So I would keep reporting them and they would keep saying, ignore it and it will go away. Yeah, oh, yeah, that worked really well. You know what you got out of that, ladies? Columbine.
Yeah, I was as much as I hate to say it, ladies and gentlemen, I was the other side of the coin where it was talk shit, get hit. That was my simple philosophy of dealing with bullies. You want to talk crap to me, you get hit. But it's a different age now.
I know. I'm like I said, I got yelled at because girls shouldn't fight. I'm like, what the fuck? What is this supposed to do? Stand there and cry?
Yeah, exactly.
Just stand there and fucking cry.
But this story, I don't think is going to go away. I don't think it's going to go away. I think that, first of all, Shane, you said that there were the crowds were chanting "Fire Bradshaw."
Yeah, there was a fan that was at the stadium, at the arena there, I should say, actually video recorded the chants that were happening live. So you couldn't edit it out or anything. And there were about 100, there were about 200 or so people, or possibly even more. I couldn't see from all around the arena, but there was a very loud chant of "Fire Bradshaw," and everyone was clapping along. And one gentleman actually, as a rib to JBL, and here you go, Gordon, this is what happens when ribs against JBL happen. When someone held up a sign saying, "JBL bullied me," and giving JBL a little bit of his own ribbing back, that fan got booted from the arena.
I could understand them confiscating the sign, but he should not have gotten kicked out of the arena for that.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's unfortunately...
I gotta agree with that. I think, again, you pay your money, and you know, the sign is one thing, and yeah, that he probably should have been compensated for that. Do I think he should have been thrown out? No, unless he did something to warrant it.
And JBL would probably say, I don't like that, and I don't like him. And he doesn't even know him from Adam, and he got this kid thrown out of the arena.
Well, we don't know.
Because he can't take his own, he can't take any crap back. That's,
you know,
not right.
And that's the thing. We don't know what the story is. And I mean, I come from a media world where a lot of it, you know what, it's fun to it's fun to see smoke, and sometimes you want fire, and sometimes you get fire, and sometimes you get smoke. Right now, there's a lot of smoke. Is there fire? We don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what ticks me off more than this.
Go ahead.
Is that I had a petition cross my desk just the other day, and it was to fire Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what a bunch of bullshit that is. Let's talk about some happier stuff, which was the superstar shakeup this week, Nick.
Yeah.
Actually, happier stuff would have been talking about Braun Strowman throwing off Roman Reigns, but that's besides the point right now.
Well, no. We're gonna go into that because this has been huge. There is a petition, just to tie off the whole bullying thing, there is a petition out there to get JBL fired. There are lists being passed around of various sponsors of WWE that people are saying write to these sponsors and tell them that, you know, you realize you're supporting a bully on television. Just saying.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it the other direction either, saying that. Because, again, if you want to affect the WWE, you go after the pocketbook. You go after the money. So, and you know what? If people want to react in terms of that, absolutely. I mean, you look right now at Bill O'Reilly.
I was going to say United Airlines.
Well, I mean, you want to go to United Airlines also. Sure, they're both in the same problem right now. O'Reilly went from 34 advertisers to 7, and I believe United lost, I think, $1.6 billion in stock over the past 24 hours, which has turned into the apology show. I mean, you look at it this way. People turn around and go, I am not going to go to a show where JBL is, and all of a sudden you're hitting a loss on the pocketbook because people are not showing up to JBL events. Yeah, JBL will be fired sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regardless of bullying or not bullying, it's all about the bottom line.
Yeah, so I think I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know, you know, if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. I just know that this, you know, it may yet turn into a fire. But
and it could very well. But it's not a fire yet until you know what exactly the issues are. And mm-hmm. right now, you don't know what the issues are. So anyway, going back to what you were saying before about the great shakeup, which, by the way, I thought was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I just have just a little bitty nitpick with this.
Okay.
A lot of the presentation of who went where fell under Surprise I'm Here or Run-In.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen at least one of these be in the actual office of one of the general managers. Where they do the thing, do the show the general manager talking to somebody and then pan over, ta-da.
Yeah, like, and even maybe a negotiation.
Yeah.
Between maybe Shane and Shane, Kurt Angle, and Daniel Bryan.
See, I agree with you guys on paper. I think that would have been fun. But I did like the breakneck pace. I mean, both shows were very much on breakneck pace. For the most part. I mean, the only real lag that you had was, again, Strowman going nuts. I agree with you on that. I don't know whether or not it would have fit the pacing of this sort of show where everything was going very quickly backwards and forwards. I'm sorry?
No. Go ahead.
For the most part, I thought that both groups did well in terms of shipping their people over to the other one.
Yeah. I think these were all very good choices. Going through the list, why did I do that? I did something wrong on my list.
Yeah, you flipped them.
I flipped them. I, I
freaking flipped them. Okay, I am so sorry. My notes are screwed up. I have had fog brain all week.
So it's all good. We got it though.
Okay, so yes, that was me you heard jumping up and down when Happy Scary Dean showed up on Raw. And oh, by the way, if any of our Columbus, Ohio, any of our Ohio listeners are going to hear this podcast, go to Raw, go directly to Raw. Do not pass go, but do collect $200 to buy Dean Ambrose merch and support your boy.
Yeah, there you go.
They're nationwide next week. Yes. So, they did mentions for some of the guys that they were moving. I think they should have done just a mention for Curt Hawkins. Although it was fun watching him get killed.
By the Big Show, of course. Yeah, face the facts.
Face the facts, man. Your gimmick doesn't work.
Yeah.
Period.
I think my favorite reaction out of all of them was Owens once realizing that Sammy was following him back over.
We're gonna get to that.
No. I'm like, ah.
That was just fantastic. That was just absolutely fantastic. And I, you know, Miz and Maryse doing their John Cena and Nikki Bella shit.
That was great.
And Dean was like,
I love every minute of that. That was fantastic.
Wait, you're not John Cena? Oh, well, in that case, kick wham dirty deeds. I was like,
oh, dear God. I, but again, Miz over on the other side, you know, his shtick will translate over. The biggest surprise to me, and a happy one, is moving Bray Wyatt over. Okay. Bray Wyatt.
Now, Gordon.
Jay, you go first, and I'll explain where you got my lukewarmness from eventually, but you go first. Okay.
Well, because he's going after the Demon King. The Eater of Worlds versus the Demon King, while he's right now a little effed up Demon King, fuck you, Gender.
Gender, that's why you got transferred.
Yeah, exactly. But I like the idea of a demon, you know, that sort of thing going on. I like that. I'm okay with that.
And as somebody who likes the goofy special effects stuff, as somebody who liked, you know, Demon Taker more than Biker Taker, you know, just all the crazy spooky. I don't want to use Skaya's term, gay spooky. All the crazy spooky that can come up with Wyatt and Balor.
I like the crazy goofy spooky. My issue though, which is why I had a problem with him going over to Raw from SmackDown, is that I don't think they fleshed out his character enough. And it's crazy for me to say, because all he did was rub his body in the ashes of Sister Abigail and turned into, like, satanic douche boy from hell.
But, okay.
Well, this is where...
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, this is where I made a comment about Bray Wyatt's move to SmackDown. Is they did the right move, like, and putting him into a feud with Finn Balor. But if you want to make this more interesting, because Bray Wyatt is apparently pissed at the moment, mm-hmm. with his current situation, because he didn't have the WWE title for long, and apparently we're getting a CM Punk situation where he's being promised one thing, but he's getting the promises pulled away from him for another. What they got to do to make it up to Bray and make it up to us fans is strip Brock Lesnar of the Universal title.
Thank you.
And have the vacant title be fought for between Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor, the Demon King versus the Eater of Worlds in a long feud that I don't care whether you have the title going backwards and forwards or have one person just seemingly win the title and keep it. But this is a money feud that will go over well if the title was on the line, because nobody wants to have the same scenario we had last year of only seeing the Universal title defended at the big four pay-per-views. Nobody wants that.
And I'll just throw an extra log on the fire here, because then you're going to get Seth Rollins going, hey, what about me? You know, I fought Finn Balor. That. I'm the one who put Finn Balor out. Huh?
No, I said it. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants what?
Basically, nobody wants the excessive testosterone generated from the male wrestlers after they're whining like a little girl.
But the thing is that we want the title to be defended, and yes, we want people like Rollins to chase and Balor to chase and Wyatt to chase, you know, and things like that. No.
The idea of a part-timer with a title. I've soured on that idea. My apologies to Uncle Paul, but really, I don't care how special you think it makes the title. People want to see the champ.
They want to see your uncle's client.
My dear uncle's client, yes. Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Who will just say, well, you're just going to have to pay me more money, or I'm going to go back to Alberta and go shoot elk and bang my wife some more.
He only arrives at the four big pay-per-views to get the paychecks. That's it. But that's the problem, though. When your main event is the SmackDown main title, that's when you have to say to yourself, do we really want Brock as champion right now? Because, like, that's what a lot of fans got ticked off at, is the fact that they're, like, when you look, do comparisons of the shakeup, right?
Yeah.
You would say that Raw got the better of the deal. As far as wrestling standpoint, and with the SmackDown from the transfer from Raw to SmackDown, there were only like probably three decent ones in there, which was Owens, Zayn, and Charlotte. For entertainment purposes, hell yeah, the SmackDown won. But with Raw got Dean Ambrose, who's a workhorse. Apollo Crews, who, yes, might be bland as shit, but is one of the most athletic blokes that you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And has got Miz and Bray Wyatt, two of the hardest workers in WWE. So Raw got the bonus on wrestling talent. But, yeah, I just think that if we're going to do... that if you're going to have guys come over from SmackDown to Raw, at least have a main title there that they can fight for. Instead, because the only main title they've got to fight for now is the Intercontinental Championship.
I could insert a cruiserweight joke here, but...
bow down to your king, Missy.
I will be more than proud to bow down to this king. And I look forward to when he starts having a dust-up with Kalisto, who has been out of the Cruiserweight title picture because he was stuck on SmackDown. So now he gets to come in and play. Either that or he's just subbing for Grand Metalik, who's fallen off the face of the earth. Mm. I will give points to Shane for teasing Charlotte and bringing out Tamina, who I hope... will actually get to actually start wrestling.
Well, now that unfortunately her father has passed away, and you know, the sins of the father, unfortunately.
Oh, I know.
Unfortunately.
But I was at the show when she debuted with the Usos, and. You know, I had huge hopes for her because I knew her wrestling pedigree. Shane,
yes, when you when you see the Anoyas getting splashing the hearts, you know shit just got real.
Well, yeah. I mean, the fact that Tamina could have matched fists with Natalya the way she was being booked at the time, and here you have the twin sons of Rikishi Fatu and the daughter of Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I mean, we've got how much more wrestling royalty can we have in the ring at the same time?
Well, I think they are going to let Tamina wrestle because, no offense to Jimmy Superfly Snuka, may he rest in peace, but his past sins should not reflect on her wrestling ability. And I think you're going to see her in a feud with Becky Lynch from the way they made it pan out. And Charlotte's just going to be thrown into a feud with Naomi.
Which I'm perfectly fine with. But, you know, SmackDown, you know, you said that they got Owens and Zayn and Charlotte, but I'm going to throw Rusev in the mix for good wrestlers that are going over there. Yes, he's very entertaining, but he's damn good in the ring, too.
Oh, he is. Don't get me wrong. But I'm actually intrigued about another person who I can't wait to see if she actually does wrestle, which was Lana, because they did the whole coming soon graphic, which, yes, for all of you, Lana, Lena, no. Just no.
No. If anybody who's doing that, cut that shit out.
Lana's got the talent to be a great wrestler. I just want them to actually give her a chance.
Well, they have room now that Eva Marie is completely washed of WWE.
Can you see, Nikki? Could you just say that one more time with the Eva Marie introduction, please, to make us laugh?
Oh, god damn, which one was
Hi, I'm Eva Marie and I love wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Hi, I'm Eva Marie and I love wrestling.
And somebody comes up and blows in the ear. She says, "Thanks for the refill."
I think if her voiceover guy was still doing work for her, it'd be like, "She no longer has the red hair. She looks like a Kim Kardashian stand-in, and she's unemployed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Eva Marie."
Yes.
Coming to a TNA near you soon.
Oh, God, I hope not. It's got, just for our TNA footnote of the day, it's gotten so bad with TNA that on our message board, the TNA section for it, whenever they have a thread for the episodes, it only goes for about a page and a half.
This Impact Wrestling did not even deserve a paragraph. It was that shit. The main thing was Justin. I love how they built. They did not learn from WWE. I love how they're doing a feud between JB and friggin' Josh Matthews and doing team versus team. I'm like, really? Did you not learn from Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler? It doesn't work.
I told you, Gordon, we would be roasting TNA. I told you we would be. Told you we would be.
Oh, that's not roasting. If you want to see
hold on. I'll bring him back in.
That's not roasting. If you want to see roasting, ladies and gentlemen, go look at Laurel Van S, who is now dating Zack Ryder. That's a definition of a crack whore if I've ever seen one.
Who?
Crazy Laurel Van S, better known as what's her real name? Shalil.
Uh huh.
Yeah. She's now dating Long Island Ice Z, and yeah, they're just making her look like a bloody mess. It's a shame that someone from the Van S family treated with such disrespect.
Yeah, Gordon, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, I told you we would be burning TNA a little bit here. You know.
Yeah, the less we can talk on TNA, the better. But yeah.
But,
TNA stands for trouble and astonishingly bad storyline.
But Nikki, we got to talk about the literally big story of the week. Hello? Everybody here?
I'm here.
Is anyone else?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm waiting for Miss Heyman to talk about the big elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
Did someone's mic die?
Oh, Nikki, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was a commotion in another room that required my attention.
Okay. So
what I miss.
Nothing. We're just burning TNA, but we wanted to talk about the big story of the week, literally, aka your tears hydrate me.
Oh, that good one. Lord. This is so amazing, and this is some of the stuff. This is why I love wrestling. We had a segment through Raw that it sounds like Gordon was bored to tears with, but I found actually pretty funny, and I'm a Roman Reigns fan, unashamedly.
The one.
I am not the only one. If I can find artwork and all the stuff that you see posted on my Facebook feed.
No, I'm a Roman Reigns fan too. I'm not going to lie, because I think it's bullcrap the amount of hate this man gets, because he can wrestle. And if you actually let him
explain to why he gets all the hate. That's not a problem.
If they actually let him off the leash, pun intended, ladies and gentlemen. But if they let him off the leash, he is actually a good talker.
No, he's not a good talker, and that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is, you know, with anything in terms of the WWE or anything, you have to earn it. One of the things that is royally annoyed at the fan base, me being one of them, is that it feels like Roman Reigns is being shoved down everybody's throat.
No, like I said, I think the push was just a year too late.
Yeah, and here's the problem I have with that. Here is the damn problem I have with that, is that I hate the wrestling fans that are like, Roman Reigns gets shoved down our throats every week. Ladies and gentlemen, please do go back in time to all the people that you love, that you say you love and admire and everything. They were getting shoved down your throats, and you didn't give a shit about it.
Or you actually complained about it at that time.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, friggin' Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, Triple H, The Undertaker, Kane. I could go on for weeks. And all those people were getting shoved down your throats each and every week. And a lot of people, 80% of the time, were saying, oh, we love these guys. This is entertaining stuff. There was only 20% of the time where you were like, okay, we've had enough now.
So be that as it may, WWE decided that what they were going to do is give some catharsis to all of these haters. So Roman was going to have a nice little sit-down interview with Michael Cole. And then a wild Strowman appeared and kept reappearing. Beats the holy hell out of Roman. They try to get him up on a gurney. I'm not through with you yet! Gets the gurney, runs it through the hallways, and shoves it off a dock. They go back, you know, they get him to back off. They go down and they check on him. They try to get him, you know, them all back together. And they go ahead and start putting him up and putting him in an ambulance. I ain't through with you yet. Braun Strowman flips the damn ambulance. And I was waiting for him to flip the Metavan. Actually, somebody even suggested he should have been driving the Metavan.
Yeah.
So... But it's there, I'm not just the one, Mr. Pepper, because there was a petition out to fire Strowman. This is legit. There is a petition out somewhere on the interwebs to get Braun Strowman fired for all that abuse heaped upon Mr. Reigns.
Apparently, people do not understand what a storyline in television is.
No, and
it's still real to them, damn it.
That's right.
That's right. The fact of the matter is that this was clearly a show move. This is all choreographed, and people need to understand what wrestling is. So it's a storyline. It's a male soap opera. You don't fire the lead on a soap opera for being a bad guy. That's what they get paid for, is to be someone that you have feelings for and you grow feelings for and you hate, and they go, boo. So, no, clearly, this is, you know, what Strowman's doing is working. So, no, you should get a promotion. You should not get fired.
Oh, no, I agree. It's just the fun thing of listening to the audience on one side of it saying, no, don't, stop. And the other one's just going, no, don't stop. No, don't stop. No, don't stop.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see this petition. And if Vince McMahon takes this petition seriously, Vince, I want you to Facebook each and every person. I can guarantee you 95% of that the people that have signed that list are under the age of 18 and or divorced women or single women.
But first of all, get to the response that Strowman had to the petition, which was brilliant. Nikki.
I'm trying to find the tweet now. Give me just a second.
I think I have it. Hold on one quick second.
I just got to make sure I was in the right thread.
No, I got it. Here it is. I do what I want when I want, and your stupid petition won't change that. Hashtag no one is safe. Hashtag everyone will fall. Hashtag your tears hydrate me.
Yeah.
And that should be that should be plastered on t-shirts everywhere. Yeah, I just found it.
I'll be posting that on my Facebook page.
Yes. Because, and, you know, Braun just made himself the new Kane.
But the reason why I think, Nikki, that it worked this week was because we haven't seen anything like that in a while. We haven't seen anything that nuts.
Yeah, vehicular mayhem is a wonderful thing, and used sparingly, it's even more wonderful when it does happen. So now, as a production person myself, I could pick this whole thing apart and complain about the jump cut before Strowman got a hold of the gurney with the dummy Roman on it, or about the shadow of Roman jumping out of the ambulance before it was flipped, or just the fact that the ambulance was completely devoid of equipment when Roman was first put in there. But you know what? I don't care. That was awesome. That was fun.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, surely Roman Reigns would have copped a wellness violation for all the needles that were in that freaking ambulance, like, Jesus Christ. But anyways,
some of it might have been morphine, so it would have softened the blow. The company line on this, WWE's article, let me find it.
Is that Braun Strowman is the second man in history to break a Samoan?
No.
Oh, no. See, here was my complaint. People were making fun of this article, and they said he also suffered a mild headache. And I said, now you're being unrealistic. He's a Samoan.
I got the condition here from WWE.
Yeah. Cracked ribs and internal injuries. He's also supposedly recovering from a separated shoulder. Now, of course, you know, some people are saying, oh, they're just blowing this out of proportion. Roman will be back in 2 weeks with a Band-Aid on his forehead or some medical tape on his shoulder or whatever. But it was pointed out to me that maybe that the botched tombstone reverse, maybe something gave out on Roman, because he hasn't done much. He hadn't done much since WrestleMania.
Oh, you mean the botched tombstone? Oh, yes. Okay.
You mean the two botched tombstones?
That, you know, one he legit botched, the other one his body gave out. Potentially.
Well,
we don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
We do not. And that's right on that. But the other thing that I've heard is that, you know, Roman needed vacation time. So there you go.
Well, he did have that. Let's not forget, he did have that back surgery. What was it? Last year, a couple of years ago? So
Roman?
No. Yeah. He had an abdominal hernia.
Oh, that's it. The abdominal hernia. That's it.
So that was in front, not in the back.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. But yeah, he might have retweaked that by doing at WrestleMania. We don't know.
But again, it was a great piece of pure WWE theater, and that's what you need. Going back to the Superstar Shakeup for a sec, I'm going to ask the table: were you surprised at any moves that weren't made?
Yes, AJ Styles and the Roman switch. I was surprised that did not happen.
I'm surprised that American Alpha did not get moved to Raw.
For me, surprises. I'm going to agree with Nikki on that, because I definitely easily could have seen that switch happening and it didn't.
Because I'm sorry, it's Team Angle 2.0. Jason Jordan may as well be Kurt Angle's son.
Hey, for all we know, ladies and gentlemen, Jason Jordan could be the love child of him and Crystal back from those days. Hey, we remember that bad angle. Come on, don't lie. Not Crystal, Charmel. Charmel, I do apologize.
Charmel.
And yeah.
Do you really know what bestiality means?
Oh, gross.
But that came up in that promo.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's there was a joke back then that was probably inappropriate, but yeah, it's like, oh god. It's like that's why every cow shakes every time Kurt Angle goes near him, because they don't hear his fascination with milk. They're like,
Now, one other thing. We did have one announcer switch. Byron Saxton is going to SmackDown, which he made his debut. And Otunga is going to Raw, but wait. He's not going to be there yet. He's not going to be there yet. Because he just got cast in a movie. Do you think they're going to do a two-man team, or do you think they're going to call somebody else up?
It wouldn't shock me if you saw JBL doing both for a little bit.
No, bad.
Well, we did. Like, I'm wondering what the hell's going on, because did you not say that Jim Ross had signed a 2-year deal or something?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
Because obviously they're not going to do a 2-man team on Raw and a 3-man team on SmackDown, because that would make no goddamn sense. So unless that 2-man team was going to be the returning Jim Ross, and we're going to get old school Raw of Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler.
Can you imagine a team of Cole, Ross, and Graves? Holy cow.
I would love that, because this would tame Graves a little bit, because he's very Ventura, and he's just been tearing Saxton apart at the table.
He'd go from Saxton to Cole, because there's no way he could rip JR, because JR would have him for lunch and be like, sit down, Junior.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just going to point out something, that Saxton, who was the chew toy at the Raw announce table, was welcomed with open arms and high praise and compliments and all of this happy, shiny, happy stuff. JBL, I bet you had a get right with Jesus meeting.
And that's my point.
God, is that you?
You got to prove my point for me.
Am I? I just, apparently somebody said something to JBL.
Well, and maybe that was the correct way to handle it instead of not. And you know what? You point out something very, and I'm going to go back a little bit here, but you pointed out something, which is there's different ways where people handle the problems differently. You have Ronaldo, who's sitting out his contract, and you have Saxton, who understands, okay, this is my role, is to be the chewy toy. And yet, he doesn't get smacked for it at all. And as you said, he was welcomed with open arms, which was partially true. But again, it's how different people work on it. And that's really my point of, you know what? This is a good job for Saxton, because he gets it.
And okay, but
doesn't.
And here, he gets and here, it, and
he was, he was a wrestler.
And here's where I play. And here's where I play advocate. There's a difference though. Mauro Ranallo was brought in as a Joey Styles slash Jim Ross type of announcer, so he was supposed to take, supposed to be the serious one, whereas Byron Saxton knows this, and if he ever doesn't quote this, I will be pissed off. He has been built up since day one to be the new Jonathan Coachman.
I was just, damn it,
thank
get
you.
Out of my head.
Thank
get
you.
Out of get out of my head.
Yeah, it's a dark and scary place. You don't want to be in there.
I will agree with that, Nikki. There's a lot of porn. There's a lot of porn in here. I was like,
oh no, that's get out of hey.
Thumbnail.
Okay, but again, it's going to be very interesting to see where Otunga come, who replaces Otunga for a little bit. Oh, but just one other thing, you know, because we do have a pay-per-view in, I think, 2 weeks. And we're having a lot of, interpromotional matches set up.
Yes. So it's going, it's this, so Payback is actually going to be a co-branded pay-per-view.
Does anyone find it funny, though, that one of the matches, and this is how bad Raw has gotten, ladies and gentlemen, how bad it's gotten. Payback is going to feature the United States Championship match, Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens. Winner goes to SmackDown. Yeah! What the hell?
And I take my $9.99.
I want to know something. Is RVD the head writer in the back? Because the person that's writing most of this shit has to be high on something.
Well, I mean, we've only got four matches so far. As we said, Owens, Jericho, the Hardy men, because they ain't the Hardy boys anymore. You know?
The Broken Hardys.
Yeah, the Broken Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Orton versus Bray Wyatt in a House of Horrors match. Now, what in the blue hell is a House of Horrors match?
It sounds like a TNA match, personally, but I
it's the Punjabi prison match covered in aluminium foil. I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past them. Take the Punjabi prison and cover it with vines and moss and crap.
Yeah, but I am intrigued to see what it is. I do agree it's like a TNA ripoff gimmick. But I do have a bad feeling that one person might be missing Payback, judging from what we heard from this past Monday. And that's Finn Balor, who apparently received a nasty concussion from Jinder Mahal.
And it wasn't intentional. Jinder was working a little snug and a lot stiff, and you know, shit like this happens in the business. And trust me, there are people crying for Jinder's head.
That's why we've asked the question: was Jinder's move, because Jinder Mahal's one was a surprise to me, getting moved to SmackDown. I'm like, okay, why? And then when you heard about a concussion, you're like, oh, there it is.
That's how I took it. And then when Mahal faced Mojo Rawley, not only did he work super light, Mojo Rawley plowed him over with a shoulder tackle.
Yeah, he learned something from I forget his last name wrong. What's
Gronkowski.
His name?
Gronkowski. Gronkowski.
Yeah, he learned something from Gronkowski at WrestleMania, because damn, that's a bulldozer if I've ever seen one.
Let me tell you something. With all due respect, Gordon, do you think Gronkowski has a legit career in the WWE?
I do, actually. I think he's got to get a lot more seasoned, but he definitely has a personality for it. And that's more important than the wrestling. We all know this already.
Oh, yeah. And we might be getting another legacy. We could potentially get another legacy wrestler, too. James Laurinaitis, a well-known linebacker. I believe he played for the Rams.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
is retiring from football.
There you go.
So I'm expecting that the first three numbers that are gonna hit his phone, it's gonna be one from Johnny Boy, one from the evil boss Dr. Levesque, and possibly one from Vince.
Oh, Johnny Boy.
Hey son, why don't you come down to Orlando?
I got the door wide open for you, Jimmy. Come on down.
And he might get a fourth call from his uncle saying, "Hey, dude, I've got some shoulder pads that you can borrow from me."
No.
Shoulder pads and then some Monica Lewinsky knee pads over right next to him.
Oh, jeez.
Ouch.
Ouch. Oh, by the way, I want to wish you sort of a happy anniversary, Nikki.
Oh.
Well, not you, actually. Your dear Uncle Paul. Because 20 years ago today, a little-known federation known as Extreme Championship Wrestling got its first pay-per-view called Barely Legal. 20 years ago today.
And I believe that popped up on the feed of one very blessed man who was at this event, a certain Joel Gertner, who's been on our show once or twice.
Yep. But I have to ask, how important, in your opinion, was the fact that ECW got a pay-per-view deal? I mean, without that, would we have the Attitude Era?
No, because if ECW did not get the viewing time with pay-per-view, they wouldn't have gotten their TV deal. And despite the circulation of tapes, there wouldn't been enough interest for Vince to go ahead and turn his company in that direction.
And there also wouldn't have been a guy named Stone Cold Steve Austin shooting his mouth off, in which that Vince wouldn't have seen it and been like, "Okay, I want that guy."
Yeah.
Which made him the biggest star of the Attitude Era.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a chicken. It's not a chicken egg thing. If ECW had not caught on, we would not have had the Attitude Era.
And if we did not have the Attitude Era, ladies and gentlemen, WCW would have still been in business.
That's true. It's that important. I mean, do you agree, Gordon? Do you agree with that?
I absolutely do. I mean, the one great thing about ECW was it really took it to the next level. One of my favorite ECW moments of all time was, and ECW was the master of the lights out match, where you were going and the lights went off and the lights turned back on, and then you saw certain things that weren't there before.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite ECW moment of all time was you had Jerry the King Lawler there. You had a bunch of WWE people, and this was part of the takeover segment where ECW was trying to take over the WWE, and the WWE during the ECW shows made a counterattack.
Right.
So, you know, you had the lights go on and go off and go on and go off, and so you had different people show up. You saw Jerry the King Lawler show up. You saw Mr. Monday Night Rob Van Dam show up. But the last one, the lights went on, off, and the lights came back on, and you had Jim Cornette and his tennis racket show up. And that was a holy crap moment, because at that point, Cornette was not part of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he just showed up out of nowhere was amazing. And it just continued with the anything can happen attitude of ECW.
And they were doing anything can happen a lot better than WWE was.
Yes, they were.
Hmm. All I know is when Paul Heyman gets inducted in there, yeah, not if, when. When Paul Heyman gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, I want at least in his speech for them to say, without ECW, this Hall of Fame wouldn't be happening right now.
It's the truth.
It's true.
It is the absolute truth. Because remember, again, when we're talking 1997, this was just because WWE was still going through its cartoonish era. You know, a lot of the characters.
We still had Macho Man Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, and the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, no.
No, they had already moved to WCW by this point.
Oh, they did too. Damn.
Well,
but WWE was in the process of trying to make stars, but as we've seen recently, you know, it's one of those things that WWE has trouble making stars. They seem to have them just kind of fall into their lap.
Pretty much.
So what they had in 95 and 96, you know, unless Hunter really started stepping it up and was done with it, with his mountain of shit sandwiches that happened starting from the curtain call.
That was right around that time.
Right. The curtain call was in 96. That cost him the King of the Ring that year. He became King of the Ring in 97. And I agree with a lot of people on this. He doesn't have the same charisma as Shawn Michaels. He has a presence, but it's a presence that's been forged with time and the internet. I don't think if you put the company on Triple H's back in 1997, they would have gotten far.
Ooh, probably not. Not back then. No. And again, what ECW was a legitimate alternative to the other two brands at the time, which was the Southern wrestling of the WCW / NWA and then the Northeast of the WWE for the most part.
Right. And that's, you know, so my dear Uncle Paul actually understands what the word alternative means.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that owl. Hi. He was putting on a completely different, completely unique product where he turned up the rating a little bit and was essentially showing TV-14 wrestling.
It was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
You could never do that again now.
No, and frankly, we shouldn't do that again.
No. No. Oh, no. This was, and by the way, for those who want to, first of all, I believe Barely Legal is on the WWE Network. Check it out for historical purposes.
By all means.
And I will do that. Mm-hmm. But
wouldn't Barely Legal be in majority black and white? Because remember, WWE we're talking about here, and Barely Legal got bloody. So it'd be majority black and white. You'd be like,
No. They'll give it a TV-14 or a TVMA for all of the violence and sex and insanity.
Yeah, and by the way, for those who want to check out the actual greatest documentary that I think the WWE has ever promoted is something called The Rise and Fall of ECW.
Oh, good God, that was awesome.
That is the best history of it, and you really get a sense of what to happen and this was a sex, drugs, and without the drugs. This was a sex, drugs, and rock and roll sort of thing that happened over the years. I mean, over about 7-year period-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I could compare it, Gordon, it was like the way the magnesium, white hot for those 7 years, but just it couldn't sustain itself. You know, unbelievable.
Sure was.
I was just amazed with the amount of the ECW wrestlers that were actually helping in the back as well financially to keep the company afloat.
Well, yeah, because they would do, you know, Tommy Dreamer manned the phones. Taz worked on the t-shirt designs and stuff. It was all in house, and that's what made it so tight.
Bubba was did the tickets.
Yeah,
he did the marketing.
I love that story. It's like I'd be dressed up in a suit as a guy named Mark, and I'd be conversations with these people, and then we were usually the main event. We came, and when I come back with my face all bloody and I'm sweaty and everything else, and I'm giving them the ticket money, they'd be like, "Wait, you're Mark?"
Yeah. But again, it all goes back to, and I don't mean this in a bad way, the Svengali-like charisma of Paul Heyman. He was the guy who had the balls to get this on the pay-per-views. He didn't stop until it was done. He didn't stop.
No, and he had no plans to stop. In fact, he dared them. Go ahead. I dare you. I dare you to throw me off the air.
Don't tempt.
But see,
they all know what happens when you tempt.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying that my dear Uncle Paul was giving his own middle finger to the wrestling standard at the time. And everybody was invested. And because yep. Uncle Paul believed so hard in it, he got a lot of other people to believe in it, too.
And again, what's amazing to me, it's one of those things where you just don't, you can't realize that you have a generation or two who never don't know what ECW was. They're only brought up on what we knew as, you know, WWECW, as it's called.
Right.
You know, that second generation stuff.
Right. And, you know, they chant ECW, but do they really know what they're chanting about when Uncle Paul comes out or when Rhino comes out?
I'm not sure. I'm really not 100% sure. I don't know. Because I don't think 16-year-old kids or 18-year-old kids really know that ECW. I'm not sure.
And frankly, I don't think they could actually take what ECW was dishing out at that time with what we know now.
Yep. Well, but I tell you what I just thought about too, is that with the good of ECW also comes the bad of ECW. Because of ECW showing up, ladies and gentlemen, we did get the Attitude Era, which beat WCW, and hence the reason why we had Impact Wrestling. So, had we have not had ECW, had we not had ECW. We would not have Impact Wrestling. Just saying.
That's true, too.
That's a little bit of a reach, but okay.
that's stretching the taffy a little bit, you know?
That's not stretching the taffy, because we just agreed that had ECW not existed, there wouldn't have been an Attitude Era, and WCW would have been still in session. So if WCW was still there, Jeff Jarrett would have been happy days and probably would have been running the company by now.
Could be.
Potentially, yeah.
But again, with today's, you know, historical event, you know, 20 years on, the cultural wrestling significance cannot be understated. You know.
So, yeah, I think we've done enough damage for one night.
Indeed.
So, but before we go, this is the part of the show where we try to sell some soap. So, Gordon, I will start with you since, you know, this is, what, your second time on my show?
Yeah, something like that.
You got anything to promote?
Well, we have three, speaking of tag teams, we have new tag team champions, we have a new Vixens champion, and we have a new Cruiserweight champion over at the panel. We'll be chatting about that. WLTI, we're going to be talking about people's rights, believe it or not. So part of what we discussed on this show is going to be on Game Show News Net, also in WLTI. So that's going to be a fun show.
Yes, a major personal event happened on Survivor this week, and it made worldwide news for a very good reason. And we'll tell you about it.
Okay, Shane, you typically don't have much to promote, but I ask anyway.
Yes, well, I'm going to promote WWE Supercard. Get on there, because the Broken Hardys are actually up for ring domination. but on a more serious note, I would actually like to congratulate three people. Congratulations to Renee Young and Dean Ambrose on their recent marriage in Las Vegas this Sunday. Congrats. And congratulations to Mr. Apollo Crews, who's expecting his first child with his partner.
Awesome. Jason, I know you've got the rest of it.
I do. BS Big Show will be back a week from this Friday. Actually, a week from this Thursday. Let me just check what we just had. I just want to make sure of this because we have two shows that we are doing, because the schedule for the 2017 season of the NFL gets released next Thursday, and we are going to do a program. So for next Friday night, it will be on. So we're going to do a show on the 20th. We're also going to do a show live cap the NFL draft next Thursday, the 27th, which means our show, North American Wrestling Connection, we were recorded on the 28th, which is 2 weeks from this coming Friday for that particular. And of course, we'll be doing a new episode of Touch 'Em All next week, because we're 2 weeks into the baseball season. We'll be talking about some new foods, some new rules, and some other good stuff. And I believe we're also going to be talking about the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson going into baseball, breaking the color barrier. Can you believe it's been 70 years? 70 years since that happened. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can listen to, of course, all the programs here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Player, Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. And last but not least, very quickly, Q&ATrivia.com. Find out to register for the 7th Annual Trivia Championships of North America.
And as for myself, Shane kind of beat me to it, but yes, Ring Domination this weekend on Supercard is offering the Broken Hardys, and I just got a message from somebody who spends way too much time and money on this game. Already has his Jeff Hardy. The game.
Cray.
Son of a bitch.
Seriously, the event started at 2:00 this afternoon. I'm not even done with Rhino. I think it's Rhino, Shamrock, and then the event card. And I don't like my chances, because my Saturday is completely booked. But it keeps me out of trouble when I'm not trying forcibly to get into it, like I do on this show. So, for Jason Block, for Gordon Pepper, for Bad News Beeman, for our Chief High Muckety Buck, Carl Chenier, who's probably already peacefully asleep, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in, because we're going to do this all over again next week. Thank you.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.